Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea or, hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well.
Are we recording?
Yeah, I just heard.
Oh, shiza.
Just go for it.
Shiza Malaysia.
Shiza Malaysia. Hey, by the way, I've never asked what your like ethnic background is, I don't think.
It's funny that you asked me that because my sister just did our DNA.
Stop.
Literally this week. And she sent me the results. So, this wasn't a surprise. I'm 44% Germanic Europe. So my ancestors, from what I know, migrated from Romania, which was at the time Transylvania, down into Germany. I mean, my dad's done the research on this and it dates back to the story of the Pied Piper. Have you heard that story?
What?
How the Pied Piper kind of like lured the children
from the village. From the village, yes.
I'd have to go back and look what he found, how we're related to that mythology. But so my sister and I always joke around how we're vampires because our ancestors came from Transylvania.
About the Transylvania thing.
So that's the majority of my ancestry. Okay. And no shocker because I'm a pasty white girl. I'm also English. It's like 11% English, Irish, Swedish, and Jewish.
Okay.
I didn't realize I had.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Love this. I love this for us. Yeah. I've never known that. And I've literally known you for a decade.
It's so funny that you asked me that because my sister Megan literally just did our DNA last week. So
I am a little bit psychic, you know. So
I know. It's true. You really are.
Wow, that's incredible. I've been wanting to do our DNA, you'll have to tell me what you used. Maybe they'll want to sponsor the show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. I definitely want to leave this in, by the way. Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Radically Well podcast. I am here today with my beautiful co-host, Tessa Tovar. I love that you look at me like this.
Does it feel like you're being loved with my gaze?
I do. I do feel it. Good. And it's okay, even better now because we're like in person.
I know. It's so much better.
So much better. Yeah. This is, why didn't we do this before? Oh, because we didn't have a budget. Okay. Anyway.
we could think of many reasons, but who knows?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So today's episode is one that I don't think you want to miss. It's all about hormones and balance. And really what I want to talk about today is navigating these ups and downs. And I wanted to actually ask you if you know this statistic. I'm curious. We've been talking about this a lot.
What's the statistic?
Okay. So hormonal imbalances affect 80% of women at some point in their lives, often contributing to fatigue, mood swings, and weight changes. So to me, it's interesting that 80%, that statistic, I'm like, I would say it's more like 100%.
Yeah.
Right?
That's high, but also not shocking. And yes, I think we could say 100%. Yeah, I would agree. And I haven't heard that statistic before. Would you mind opening?
No, not at all. So, you know, the thing about that, which I find super interesting, is for the people that are just joining us or that, you know, you're new to this new show, Tessa is currently in perimenopause.
So fun.
I love it. Fucking navigating that minefield.
Yeah.
And I am postmenopausal. So I am in menopause, or, you know, technically we're going to go more into this, but you only go through menopause in one day. So after that one day, which is exactly 12 months from missing your cycle, so you've had one exact year, you are essentially, you go through menopause in one day, from what I believe, what I understand. We'll have the experts on here tell us all about it. Dr. Shepherd specifically, who is my doctor, my hot doctor. And we'll talk more about that. But yeah, so I'm postmenopausal and I'm on hormone replacement therapy. I've been through this incredible transformative mentally, emotionally, spiritually, hormonally transformation in the last year. And I'm just, I was so excited to share everything I've learned in the last 4 years. It's almost like I've been taking this master's course in hormones. Mm-hmm. And my big passion now is how the tools that I use to help me get through this, not only just the information, but also the conversations I was having with people, the conversations you and I have had, the conversations that I've had with expert doctors in the field, the projects I'm working on now, the content I'm creating now, and truly how, you know, like my zone of expertise is mindfulness. It's the wisdom of yoga. It's the wisdom of the mind and the body and the spirit connection. And so I'm hoping to be able to weave all those things together. And so I was joking, you know, with you, but I'm like, I want us to become your hormone besties.
Yes.
Right?
I love that. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Well, I mean, cause I need to become my own hormone bestie, and what better way to create a place for everyone to join in on the fun, the journey, the ride of the waves of these hormones, then just share this information out. Like, we need to have these conversations with each other. We need to. It's crazy to me that this subject has been set so taboo for so long. And I do feel this shift happening, and I'm so excited to be a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we do have, speaking of experts, we do have a fantastic expert on the show today. I'm so excited for you all to meet Dr. Vonda Wright. She is a renowned orthopedic surgeon. She's an author and a speaker. She specializes in sports medicine and the treatment of musculoskeletal conditions, what we talk about in this episode. And it's so interesting. So especially if you're somebody who suffers from like pain and crippling pain, and you think it's like all in your head or you just got to get over it, definitely tune into this conversation. Grab your notebook and paper. Take notes. She has a passion for empowering patients to lead active lives, which is, I mean, I cannot underscore this point enough. It's so important to stay active through the phases of your perimenopause and menopausal journey. She focuses on innovative approaches to orthopedic care and injury prevention. Another topic that I know I am super passionate about, Rosie's super passionate about. And she's also a recognized leader in the field of aging and wellness, advocating for healthy living and mobility as key components of longevity. And we talk about all of that.
Yes.
It's so good.
And she's gorge.
Yes.
She's literally so gorgeous.
I couldn't stop staring at her guns. She has like these beautiful arms. I'm a little bit obsessed with like female arms.
Oh,
the biceps.
Yes. I love so strength. And she's so into the strength. And one of the things that I learned in this conversation was the name of a symptom, right? Mm-hmm. That I had during my perimenopause phase, that we just, nobody could explain why I was having this very specific thing. So if you're experiencing very severe symptoms and you're in perimenopause and you can't figure out what's going on and you're looking for ways to improve your health, your vitality, your strength, this episode is for you. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, Dr.
We're here.
Vonda.
Yes, Dr. Vonda is in the house.
Yay!
So excited for this conversation. How are you today?
I'm having a great day. It's been good. I have no complaints.
Excellent.
Just being in front of you, nice. Though, kind of like jacked me up. You're like full of energy. I love it. So good.
Yeah, I always think that's so interesting. Before we hit record, Rosie and I and Dr. Vonda were kind of starting to discuss our health journey. And Rosie and I have been, well, Rosie, I think you more so than me have been on this kind of intermittent fasting / long-term fasting program. And mm-hmm. I've been experimenting with it. And what I think it's so interesting about energy is what happens to the body mm-hmm. during a fast. Mm-hmm. Should we start there with that conversation? That's such a big one.
We can. Why do you guys fast?
So I think for me, what's helped me, because my cortisol levels were so mm-hmm. high, mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I didn't know what I was doing. So just, you know, to give you a little bit more context, I went into perimenopause at 35, and I'm postmenopausal now, and I just turned 41. So for the last couple of years, I've just been trying to figure out ways to manage the symptoms, you know, and it's a bear. It is a bear. And I think for me, you know, it's like the weight gain was happening, and it was like, it was my new norm. I'm like, it is what it is, you know, it happens. But what I was trying to mitigate just the pain that I was experiencing, the inflammation, the sort of, I couldn't even describe it. I'd wake up feeling so much pain, Dr. Vonda. Like, I couldn't even get out of bed. And I'm like, I've ran marathons. I'm an active person. I taught yoga for many years. Like, this is not my norm. Like, what is going on? And, you know, we couldn't figure it out. Nobody could tell me what it was. And so in just doing my own research and, you know, talking to different doctors and finally getting on HRT that was working for me. So I got on hormone replacement yes. therapy, and that took a year and a half to figure out like uh-huh. what the dosages and what was working for me. Once I finally got to a place where I was feeling, I want to say like, myself again, yes. then I started to look into, you know, my behaviors and my food. And, you know, I'm a junk food junkie. I'm a sugar addict.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh yeah. So I'm like, oh, I was, you know, I say I'm a McVegan, you know, it's like I eat chicken and eggs, but like most everything's like vegan, right? I'm very, and I'm also, you know, a certified health coach and nutritionist. And so it's almost like my biggest, enemy was the fact that I thought, I'm doing air quotes, I had all the information and I did not. And so to answer your question about the intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. I started to find all the research that talked about, you know, if you have high cortisol levels, it's really great ways to sort of mitigate that because the insulin when you wake up is, you know, really high. And then I would wake up with high insulin, right? And then I'm going to do high intensity cardio workouts, and I'm having a energy shot that's got sugar in it. And then I'm doing a big bowl of yogurt and granola. So it was just, I was not giving my body an opportunity to come down.
Yeah.
So in starting the intermittent fasting, skipping breakfast and having that longer period of, you know, letting my body sort of kind of settle into its natural rhythm really allowed me to see what I was doing. And it made me feel so much better. And without getting too much into the weeds, I have lost like 30 plus pounds yeah. in the last couple of months just doing that.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Well, you know, something you said going back, first, the thing you said that I hated for you was that people were telling you, or maybe you were just succumbing to the idea, well, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's the new normal, which... when you don't get a lot of information, sometimes you think that's the way it is. But what you did, what we're all doing is learning. You realize that it doesn't have to be the way it is, but it's not a new normal, meaning a new normal you feel like you're dying, which is the way my perimenopause was. But it's a new normal, meaning it's a different life to live without our endogenous estrogen that we've made ourselves in our ovaries. Because my most devastating perimenopause symptom was arthralgia, just like you. I mean, I had night sweats, brain fog. I'm sticking my leg out of the covers trying to get cool at night, right? My poor husband, we call it the thermometer leg. You know, I know. And then I was having heart palpitations. But the thing, just like you, I've always been an athlete. And I've always had the luxury of feeling in control of my body until arthralgia. And, you know, 80% of women in perimenopause will have this feeling that you and I had. And hopefully, Tessa, you never have, but that your body is so achy, you can't get out of bed. And so when I started going through that, I went through my perimenopause. I went right from having a child at 40 to I was in full-blown perimenopause at 47, which is not a lot of years to be calm, right? So at 47, I had not yet become air quoting expert at this. I have since. I feel like an expert in it because of the self-education I've done. And so I was searching. So I started with the same thing. I started with intermittent fasting, cutting out simple sugar, de-inflaming my body, and that helped. But the thing that really pivoted me back to feeling like myself again was making my hormone replacement decision. And, you know, the statistics are that only about 7% of women in the whole country are prescribed hormones. And my approach to that decision is that it is every woman is a sentient being with the agency to choose. But I want everybody to make that decision based on facts, science, and not the fear of whatever you hear in the grocery store. But whether you make the hormone replacement decision like you and I have, or you choose not to, it is not a magic bullet. Yeah. It is not the only thing. There's a whole lifestyle that we need to key into to feel not only like ourselves, but frankly, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm quite a bit older than you, and I'm going to tell you that authenticity, it took me a while to get here. Authenticity of getting to be what I want to be, not who I thought I needed to be for my job or whatever. The agelessness. I mean, I know how old I am, but I don't know what I'm 57. I don't know how it's supposed to feel. I feel 39. I'm doing more things that I want to do now. And then the indefinability. Like, don't you dare tell me what I'm supposed to be at any age. For me, being of a certain age, having lived through the perimenopause transition and mastered it, which is the way I feel, these are some of the best years once you get in front of it.
It's so nice to hear that, Dr. Bonda and Rosie,
it's like
too.
A breath of fresh air. It really
can
is.
Be amazing. You yeah. have to really work, but it can be amazing.
Yeah, I think that for so many of us, and there's so much in what you said, because even with the HRT or the hormone replacement therapy route, like there's so much we don't know, and it did not get prescribed to me right away. I mean, and I'm not going to get into too much of the weeds of that journey, but I think it is really ultimately what you're saying about the modifying behaviors and changing your lifestyle, because it's like we are not the same person that we were, especially when we're going through this transition. I love that you said you mastered the survival of the perimenopause, because it really truly was, and I'm like, it was horrific. It's awful to go through the palpitations and the night sweats and all of those symptoms and to feel like, you know, you don't have a purpose and there's no joy in anything that you're doing. And it just feels literally just like the worst possible thing to go through. But it's so good to also be on the other side of it and think, how can we help? Like, women, we don't have to suffer. Like, this is something that That's we're right. all going to go through, you know?
We have to go through it. We don't have to suffer. And so my goal, you know, if we think about this in decades of women, the women my mother's age, who she's 85, she got hormone replacement therapy because at the time it was before the WHI study and women were being given it. The generation that have suffered for 40 years are the baby boomers, because they're now in their 60s and 70s. So then younger than them are my generation, and we're the ones capable of making the decision. are we going to do the lifestyle? Are we going to do the hormone replacement? Or we're just going to decide to suffer, which I think is needless. But here's my goal, ladies. My goal, I have a millennial daughter. I have two millennial or soon to be two millennial daughters-in-law. And I have a 17-year-old. My goal in this whole passion is not only to continue mastering through the lifestyle, but that my daughters and my youngest daughter never have to transition in a terrible wacko way, because maybe someone will have told her at 35 that it can happen as early as that. And that, you know, you're on birth control anyway. Birth control is 10 times the dose of hormone replacement therapy. So, you know, you can have hormone replacement therapy even when you're that young, blah, blah, blah. That it will be such common knowledge that it will not be the shock and life-changing experience. Because the other thing that women go through is in the prime of their careers, 35, 45, 55, we're going through this. And many women feel so bad, they're thinking about quitting. That's not fair. So my goal, my passionate goal, I could go on for hours, obviously, but is that I'm not going to lie to my daughters. I have raised them to be confident women, knowing they can do anything they want, but I want them to be able to do it equally and not have to face the things that we're verbalizing, right? And so that's part of what fuels my passion and publicly educating people. It's because it doesn't have to be as miserable as we've experienced if we get ahead of it, right?
I think this is such an interesting and valuable conversation for me to hear, because I'm at the very start of this perimenopause journey. Mm-hmm. I just had a hysterectomy this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something that kicked off the perimenopause, but I'm definitely going through it, experimenting with a little bit of hormone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. although I'm not sure what the actual definition of that is, but I am taking some hormones.
Oh, maybe Dr. Vonda can give it to us.
It's estradiol, which is what your ovaries make. Mm-hmm. If you have a uterus, women have to take micronized progesterone, a little pill. If you don't, you don't have to. It is, believe it or not, vaginal estrogen, because we can get very, very dry and we don't want to give up having sex, but that'll happen if it's too painful. Mm-hmm. It is, I added this 5 years ago and didn't tell anybody, and lo and behold, it's a thing. Facial estrogen to preserve our great skin. We lose 30% of our collagen. And I know you're writing that down, right, Rosie?
Yep. You know it.
Facial estrogen to preserve the collagen in our skin. And then plus or minus testosterone. Those are the hormones that we're thinking about in a replacement. So sorry to interrupt you, Tessa. But you know what? To your point, we know that when a woman has a hysterectomy, even if their ovaries remain, you will go into perimenopause 4 years earlier than you would have had you not had surgery. So it is something to start considering after that big surgery. But I don't want to go too far and run out of time before. We've talked a lot about hormones, and we talked about intermittent fasting, but I just want to name the other lifestyle things that I think are critical, and you can pick them up and we can talk about them if not. But so we talked about intermittent fasting. That works for women like us. If we're training athletes, that doesn't really work. So it works for, I call myself a mere mortal athlete. It works for us. It doesn't work for training women. So that's another conversation. HRT decision number 3, you must lift heavy weights. You must put down the mamby-pamby pink weights to stimulate muscle protein synthesis and to maintain our health, our muscle health, so that we don't become frail old women hunched over like we never wanted to be. We got to lift weights. And when I say heavy, it means low reps, heavier weights, not 20 reps, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. Number 4 is we can stop with the 7-day-a-week high-intensity HIIT training. We need to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, because HIIT training is fine, but it's so intense. Your cortisol is high all the time, but it's not intense enough to really change our metabolic health. So the way we like midlife women, and frankly, everybody, I mean, I'm a orthopedic sports doctor, I'm going to tell you for sure, pro athletes do not, endurance athletes do not do high intensity every day. 80% of the time, they're doing something called base training, which is lower heart rate. So for mere mortals like us, it's 181 minus your age on average, unless you get a lactate threshold test, which we can do here. If you guys ever come to Orlando, I'll do that for you. But on the other end, so we do that 3 hours a week, broken up into 45-minute sessions. It's great for your mitochondria. With weightlifting, it will help you recompose your body. I know, we'll talk about that, right? Then on the other end, twice a week, you've got to sprint as hard as you can. Now, it doesn't have to be running. It just has to be the highest heart rate that you can get up to for 30 seconds, four reps of that. Those end of the spectrum is what's really going to help our metabolism. And then finally, finding a way to sleep again.
Oh,
can we talk about that? Yeah.
It's like I want to go back to and talk about. I know I'm like looking at all the
things. We need to do this again.
To master midlife. Oh, we didn't even talk about anti-inflammatory nutrition. The six things to master midlife.
Yeah. All of it. Oh, okay, Rosie, so, where do you want to start?
I mean, for me, honestly, I kind of want to go to the lifting heavy, like what that actually means. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I did high intensity training for a year, didn't know, nothing changed, you know, and I was lifting.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't until I changed it, you know, I changed my lifestyle, changed my workout. I started walking more. So walking on an incline, I started doing Pilates and I was doing weights, but like 2 to 3 times a week. And I'm talking like 25 pounds. Right. So it wasn't like to me, that's not heavy. I don't know if that's heavy or not. You
it
know,
depends
like
what body part that's heavy for my biceps, but not.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Right. Well, I would do it with like, you know, I would do like deadlifts with them and that kind of those kinds of.
Heavy. Yeah. That's not heavy enough for you. Personally.
Okay. So let's talk about it. So this is the thing. It's like when we say lifting heavy, how often during the week do I need to lift heavy? And what does heavy look like for somebody like me?
A minimum of 2 times. Better if you can find a way to do 3 or 4. Heavy is defined as this is the way I define it. There are 4 primary compound lifts that we need to cover. So it's a push-pull with the upper body. This is powerlifting. Push-pull, so bench press, pull, pull-ups of any variety. And for your lower extremities, squats and deadlifts, right? Those are the 4 compound lifts. They're multiple joint. They're really good for your core. 4 reps, 4 sets. So I'm going to give you my bench press example. So I can bench press 75 pounds 4 times. Once I get it up the 4th time, one end's a little wonky. It's, you know, I'm like, I'm really struggling. I may have one more rep in the tank before the bar comes down on me. That's what I mean by heavy. You have one more rep in the tank, maybe 2, but we're not doing 20 reps with 15 pounds. That is not going to build muscle for you.
Yeah.
So 4 reps and then 4 sets progressively. Now, if 75 is my highest lift, I don't start there. I may start at 55 or 60 and go up 10% every time. So there's that. But then the supporting lifts for a bench press, biceps, triceps, lats, delt, rows, 8 reps times 4 sets. But neither one of those is 20 reps. Right? 4 times 4, 8 times 4. Same with your lower extremity. That was just an example. Lifting that much so that you're not at failure, but almost, is what tells your body that it needs to produce, to build more muscle. To support this kind of heavy lifting, you have to feed your body protein. Mm-hmm. 1 gram of protein per ideal pound, not what we weigh, but what we know is our healthy weight, and then divide that over the meals. Now, if you're only eating for 8 hours, it's a little hard, but that's our goal, to feed our muscles. So anyway, that's, but you know, if you do one thing, building muscle is going to make our metabolism more healthy. It's going to help recompose our body composition. It's going to help build better bone, which is critical for women so that we don't end up frail. 1 in 3 women will end up in a nursing home due to frailty. I know 70% of all hip fractures occur in women. And when that happens, 50% of us do not return to pre-fall function, meaning you can't drive your car and you can't go back and live in your own house. And 1/3 of us die. So when I say to young women like you, okay, ladies, it's time to get our shit together. It's actually time to get our shit together.
Yeah. Oh,
in the most loving way, since this is
love it.
Radically loved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We love the real shit. So, and this is the kind of podcast we do. So this is great. I do, just because we're on this topic, if you can talk a little bit about the arthralgia,
yes,
because this was one of the main things. So somebody like that, that it has arthralgia and is wanting to move, like, how could somebody that's experiencing that, well, first of all, you can tell us what it is. And yes, then how could somebody that's experiencing arthralgia move? Like, what is something that they can do in order to move through that pain?
So when estrogen walks out the door, what people don't realize is estrogen is not a sex hormone. It is an anabolic hormone. It builds our whole bodies from the top of our brains to the bottom of our feet, including the musculoskeletal system. So when it walks out the door, everything's affected. So one of the things estrogen is critical for is controlling inflammation. So when estrogen is not controlling something called tumor necrosis factor or the immune system it plays a role in through a giant molecule called the inflammasome, we get inflamed everywhere. It's why we get frozen shoulder. And it's why our body hurts due to the inflammation. So when you're inflamed like that, we've already talked about cutting out simple sugar and not inflaming with that. We've talked about keeping moving. Well, how do you move when you're so painful? One good way to do it, because, you know, it probably sounds crazy, me like, go lift heavy shit. And you're like, I can't move my body. Well, as you're transitioning through, one good way is hot yoga, just to get everything moving again. Number one. Number two, find a hot pool. Whether you've got one in your backyard, I live in Florida, or you got to go to the YMCA because you live in the north. YMCAs all have therapeutic hot pools. Just get in chest high water and gently move all your body parts so that you feel better. And as you start to get control of the inflammation, you've made your hormone decision. You've cut out simple evil sugar. You'll start to feel better. Then we can progress. But let me tell you, if you've never lifted a weight in your life, this is the time to hire a coach, because you can hurt yourself. So you don't buy the red sole shoes yet. Don't buy the whatever, the Birkin. I don't even know the purse people buy. Don't buy that yet. You go spend your money on your physical body. God, I'm not going to get any fashion sponsors by saying anyway, spend the money on a trained professional to teach you your form, and then you can go solo.
That is such good advice, Doc. I'm so glad you said that, because I see so many people like, yeah, I'm going to go hit the gym hard. And then, oh, I hurt my back, my knees. And okay, it's like, yeah, did you warm up? What's your form look like? Do you know what you're doing? So it's so important. I can't underscore that enough. And in terms of getting your body to a place where you can start to lift heavy weights. And I love the idea of warming it up with hot yoga.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious about, you mentioned anti-inflammatory nutrition to help with that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you would add on?
So basically
food?
What I mean by anti-inflammatory nutrition is we have got to control the amount of simple sugar we have. I am not anti-carb. I'm not asking everybody to become keto. What I am saying is that women need 30 grams of fiber a day. So every carb we eat should have that in mind, right? So in my, when my family cooks, my husband sometimes cooks, mostly cooks, and he makes mashed white potatoes for our family, he will make me a baked sweet potato because it's all stringy and fibery, right? We are never going to drink juice. If you want fruit juice, then you're going to eat the fruit so that you get the fiber and the wiry white stuff in the middle of the orange, right? But so we got to focus our carbs on the fiber in order to help decrease inflammation. Because what happens when, you know, I was a sugaraholic too. I'd rather eat cookies for breakfast. I know. I see you. I don't anymore. That will immediately, because it's so easily digestible, it goes through your stomach and to your intestines. It's sugars absorbed in your blood and your blood sugar will spike. And then the insulin rushes out of your pancreas, trying to get the sugar out of your, into the muscles. But this spike, and if your pancreas is working, then you'll have a plunge. And then you're exhausted by 9 o'clock. You're just rolling into work because you're recovering from your spike, right? What we want is a more level blood sugar. And so we do that by not eating simple sugar and being too sweet and causing inflammation. So that's tenet number one, limit added sugar. Number two, fibrous carbs. Number three, 1 gram of protein per ideal pound. And then I think all women need to be conscious of things like vitamin D, K2, magnesium. If you're trying to build muscle, how about some creatine? And then you can choose what other variety of supplements that you want to take. But those are the ones that I insist on.
I just started taking creatine. Well, since this started like a couple of months ago. And I mean, I feel like I really want to pinpoint exactly why my body has changed and why everything has completely changed for the better. I want to pinpoint it on one thing, but I think it's just a combination of all of it, right?
It's a combination. I mean, if you're, what you're saying is your body feels like it's recomposing and is that what you mean? Not
yes.
30 pounds of extra fat anymore?
Correct.
Well, muscle is nature's Spanx. So I know. You may weigh the same, but muscle pulls it all in and you get back in the clothes. That is really, you know, that was the one of the things. I'm as vain as they come, but I gained 30 pounds at 47. Listen. And I'm like, oh, I'm still squeezing into these things that I've had for years, you know. But I came to a critical decision. I was either going to do something about the way I felt or I was going to have to go buy the next two sizes up. Mm. And I decided I don't want 3 wardrobes.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes to motivate you, right? So I got lifting weights. I started doing sprint intervals. I started anti-inflammatory nutrition. I did my hormones and felt like myself again, recompose my body, which means while I'm building muscle, I was losing the fat and I got back into the same size I've always been on without having to buy, you know, the big size closet, the regular size.
Yeah. And look, I'm with you. You know, it's like for me, I'm the same. And I was just hearing it from so many people like this is just your new normal. Mm-hmm. And I was doing everything that I would do in the past to, you know, like shed the extra pounds, you know, mm-hmm. and nothing was working. And I'm like, oh, this is just like the way my body is now. I mean, I just have to deal with it. But I love what you're saying about the behavior modification. I mean, we really need to change and you have to have something that's motivating you. I mean, I'm at a place now where like I did not want to buy new clothes. I'm like, I just want the clothes in my closet to fit. That's it. I just want it to fit. I don't need to, you know, it's like I've been in a 20 plus year relationship. Like we're good. You know, like everything is, I just want to be able to fit into my clothes and feel like I'm not in pain when I move. That's it. You know, and so that was enough of a motivation for me to make those changes. And thankfully I have. And I realized I'm like, wow, it's been 5 years since I've been able to just walk into my closet and have everything fit. Yeah. 5 years. So I've been just kind of dealing with this for 5 years. Like, oh, this is just the new normal. But I love what you're saying about assessing your health as a whole and making those appropriate changes. And yeah, like I can't get away with doing the sugary breakfasts anymore. I can't get away with going to the juice bar and getting the juices randomly or getting you know, dessert after every meal. Like that is no longer my reality. And you know what? I'm okay with it because I'm so much happier now than I have been in a really long time. I was talking to one of my friends and I was telling her, I'm like, I am happier right now at 41 than I was when I was 30.
That's what I'm talking about, because you get to be whatever age, 41, 57, whatever. Tessa, I don't know how old you are, but ageless, authentic, and indefinable. No one's going to tell us anymore what to be. But I don't want to lose track of the fact that all this lifestyle stuff that I happen to be motivated about my closet about, what it also does is it moving the way we're talking about moving, not eating sugar the way we're talking. It has lifetime health consequences of decreasing heart attack, dementia, incontinence, for goodness sakes. Who, you know, the things women die of, I'm not going to be a downer on this show, but I still take call in the hospital. And the thing women die of are things that we can prevent with this lifestyle and hormone replacements, such as hip fractures, incontinence, heart disease, and loss of our brains. So if clothes are not enough reason for you to get healthy, your body, body is a reason, right?
Dr. Vonda, if I want to be mindful of your time, but I'm hoping I can ask one more question on that subject. When I think about living vitally, you know, free of chronic disease is my goal personally. Yeah. My biggest fear is dying of dementia and Alzheimer's. Yeah. And I know it's closely related to the things we've already discussed, but also sleep. I mean, that's when our brain cleans itself, basically, right? Cleans that plaque. And so can we talk just briefly about sleep?
How to get good sleep,
Yeah.
So I've learned so much about sleep, such that, you know, I'm a musculoskeletal doctor. I used to say moving is number one. And now sleep is right up there, because you can't do anything that we've been talking about if you're not rested. So here's some recommendations from the sleep experts that I've talked to. The number one thing that can help you get a night's sleep is to go to bed every night at the same time and get up at the same time, even if it is on a Saturday. I mean, I get up between 4 and 5 every day because I'm a morning person. My brain just works the best then, even on weekends, because that will set your circadian rhythm for the day. So consistent bedtimes. Tip number two is no eating 3 hours before bedtime, because you want to be completely digested when you go to sleep. Because if you are still using your body's energy to digest, you can't use your body's energy to restore your brain, for instance. Things like, some people like to take melatonin, which is just your body's normal hormone for going to sleep. It will not make you sleep longer, but it will help you go to sleep. If you're a person who needs to take progesterone as part of their hormone replacement therapy, take it at night, because it helps sleep. I think everybody should be on 500 milligrams of magnesium. Take it at night. It's very good for sleep. And then all the things that are in the social media, turn off your phone, have a bedtime routine. Don't exercise 1 hour before you go to bed when you've got all your endorphins still circulating. All of those things have been helpful. But the other thing in midlife that helps is, to go to sleep soundly, you have to be cool. 67 is the appropriate temperature, which seems frigid, but that's when your body kind of hibernates. It's like, you know, we're like bears. We get a little cold, and then that's what wakes us up when our body temperature starts rising in the morning. So those are all tips of how to optimize sleep. But the other thing, you know, a transition to midlife is... Not, I don't know how you guys are, but when I was a resident, I could stay up all night working, or some people stayed up all night having fun. And I was good on 4 hours of sleep a day. Like, I was like a whole person. It takes me 2 days to recover from an all-nighter right now. So I choose not to do those unless I'm on a red eye.
Dr. Vonda, I'm a fan. I've got a very, very rigid sleep routine. That's the one thing that I've, well, since being on HRT, actually, has I've gotten back, and I'm the same. 8:30, I'm in bed. Mm-hmm. I wake up 4:45, 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I don't even need an alarm clock. It's just my body's just so used to it now, having that you know, like dedicated time. Yeah. And, you know, my partner, he's not a big fan because he's like, I don't have to go to bed, but it's like, I kind of make him come to bed and I'm like, it's time for bed. And it really has, but it is such a game changer, and it really does make a huge difference, I think, for your overall health. So what a great question, Tess.
It's the thing that I'm trying. It's that thing that I'm like, I just have to fix this. And it's like this, Rosie, I mean, knows this too. My husband and I are at war during sleep time as well. But lately it's because he's too cold and I'm too hot. So he's been sleeping with this like wool cap on his head. Because I've got like the fan on me.
And white crew socks.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
How romantic of him.
So yeah, my face is really red now.
That's adorable.
Yeah, we're figuring it out.
You are. You're going to figure it out.
Dr. Vonda, it's just been such an honor. We could go on and on with you all day. I don't want to let you go, but I'm curious if there's any one key takeaway. I mean, there's so many really rich things you said, but is there one thing you really want to make sure the audience takes away from this conversation?
Yeah, two things that we didn't even talk about. Number one is, if we're going to be the best, if we believe that the best of life can still be in front of us, then we have to stop looking over our shoulder at 20 years old and talking about how good that was. Because it might have been easy and carefree, but you have no money, you're still in your parents' home, you're not done with your education, and you don't know yourself. So quit worshiping that person and pivot to the now and the future, because this is when the best of life comes. So that's number one. Number two is, I just want everybody listening to understand that no matter how important everything is, your job, your family, your children, everything, whatever you think is important, no matter how important that is, that you are worth the daily investment in your health, that you are worth it. Nothing is more valuable, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody that you care about. So you are worth it, and you deserve to be able to take care of yourself.
I have chills. Dr. Vonda, you're the best. Thank you so much for being with us today. Mm. It's such a pleasure. We'll make sure that we link your social media handles and your website. Thank you. Is there any one place you like to connect with people most on the socials?
I only have time for one place, and that's Instagram.
Great. So,
I just don't have more time for six platforms. So
yeah, no, and she posts, and it's such great content. We'll definitely link those up in the notes for sure. And there's a couple other resources that Dr. Vonda shared with us that we will also share in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Those will be linked as well.
Thank you. I love talking to you.
Thank you so much. Oh, yay. So to health, to women's health.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, the best. The best is yet to come. I believe that. And, you know, I do believe it.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.